Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Marty Griffin. Hi, honey.
Hi.
How's it going?
Great.
I am texting my friend Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
He is the dry cleaner to the stars.
He is.
I'm not kidding.
No, I know.
It's unbelievable. This guy's so connected. If there's a movie... If there's a big band, like the Stones, he did all their laundry.
Right.
I'm not kidding.
No, I know.
If big movie stars are here, he does their laundry. I'm trying to find out where Harry Styles is. I'm using all of my skills and my investigative abilities and my sources.
We have a super fan in our house.
Yeah. Sophia. I bet half the people listening to this damn show don't even know who Harry Styles is.
Right.
Right?
They might know One Direction. I mean, that was the boy band he started in.
I don't even think they would know that. But regardless, Sophia is obsessed.
Oh, yeah.
And she's not the obsessive type.
No, this is kind of her big...
Crush.
Crush, yes.
She's kind of like you, more conservative, more laid back, a little keeps to herself.
Well, you're reserved, yeah.
Yeah, reserved.
Mm-hmm.
You have your star obsession.
When I was a teenager, yes.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, but let me tell you, I was nothing like Sophia when it came to a crush. I mean, she is so over the top. It's adorable. I mean, she's got the life-size cutout. She's got all posters and, you know, the whole works. Like, it's so cute.
We get updates every day.
Oh, yeah. She's on all the special, you know, Twitter feeds for all the fans and what he wore to last night's concert. We're always hearing.
It's fun.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. The concert is tomorrow night at PPG, and we're going. And
I'm not going.
No, Sophia and I are going, and two of her friends. It's going to be fun. I haven't been to a concert since before COVID.
Bruno Mars? Is that the last one?
Gosh, I guess it probably was. Well, yeah. At least the last one we went to as a family.
Okay, so they both went to homecoming, Sophia and Chloe.
Right.
There was some consternation, some conflict, some... deep, dark discussions about dresses, right?
It all turned out great. Yes, they did.
As any parents would, they're at that age where kids start the exploratory process, right? So what makes me nervous and what I think makes you nervous, don't allow me to speak for you, please, is the drugs, alcohol, sex, right? All this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And for the first time in our lives... Because they were always just young kids and we didn't think about it. Now we do, right?
Well, and it's kind of weird because, I mean, the last time Sophia went to a dance or really out with a big group of kids other than a football game, the high school football game, was in January of 2020. I mean, it's almost been 2 years, kind of like she just skipped, you know, from freshman to junior year because of COVID. And I know some other kids were still getting together socially, but we were very conservative on that. So she's really been home with us. So I don't know. I was very anxious about all of a sudden going from, you know, freshman to junior. And these kids are doing a lot more stuff than she's probably been around.
I did a lot of stuff. I did. And I regret it. I think it was ridiculous. My mother, God bless her. My mother used to have to hunt me down like a dog. And this is no exaggeration. In the neighborhood, banging on a door. I'm in a basement. We were young, man. There's some alcohol. There's some marijuana. There's girls. There's mattresses. All kind of lunacy. 14-year-old boys. I mean, and my mother, without her, I'd have been in a bad place. And I think we have this conversation, you and me. And let's be honest here. You have a difficult time. You do. I don't. With confrontation. And we're being honest here, with being the bad guy.
Oh, I hate it. I fully admit I hate all confrontation, whether it's within the house, whether it's with friends or colleagues, anything.
And if we ever have deep, not dark discussions, but if ever gets loud from my end, it's because I don't believe, I end up being bad cop a lot.
Yes,
right?
That is true.
Because I get right into the middle of it. Because I feel like, look, they're always going to love us. And I learned this from my mother. And I've told this to so many friends. There was that dark teenage phase where she was the enemy to me. I'm not kidding. I was going to get even with her by running away. I was going to get even with her by breaking into things and stealing things. And I think that's what teenagers do. My mother saved my damn life. And I can hear her voice today. Because it hurts me to discipline the girls. It hurts me to yell at them. But I know this, they're always going to love us. Do you have a difficult time kind of handling the fact that you have to be the bad guy? You don't like it at all.
No, I don't. I don't. But I do realize that boundaries are really good for kids. And I do think in a weird way, they don't realize it now, but they realize it later, that that's really good for them. And there's a security for kids in boundaries. I mean, we told Sophia she couldn't go to a party unless, an after dance party, unless we could talk to the family. And kids hate that. And so, I mean, when she didn't really want to do that, I think in a weird way, it was kind of like an easy out for her to not maybe have to go that to there. I think sometimes those boundaries like give kids, I don't know, an out when maybe they're not comfortable with something.
My sister Sandy listens and she said, good old Rose, straight me out. She's right. My mother saved my life. And that's no BS, man. I was a derelict in the making. Stolen cars, arrests. Oh, we used to jump on trains, we used to destroy property, and stupid crap in someone's basement on a mattress with a 14-year-old girl.
Which is so hard for me to imagine now because I didn't know you then.
No kidding.
I mean, you don't seem like you were that crazy, but I mean, obviously what your mom did paid off and she showed you there's a better way to use your energies.
And by the way, my dad's my man, he's my hero, but he wasn't there, man. My dad had three jobs and went to night school for an extended period. So mom is on her own, and for a parent to do that on their own, and we've had this discussion, it's hell. And we know some mothers, we won't use obviously any names, who are single moms who are raising kids on their own through divorce. It's hell, isn't it, honey? The burden is insane.
Well, I can't imagine. I mean, right. I cannot imagine doing it by myself. Thank God you are good at much better at this, and I know you don't like it, but thank you for doing that. But no, I can't imagine trying to be the only one to be the good cop and the bad cop and trying to do it all.
And also, there's this notion that we're rich white people and we live in the bubble of Mount Lebanon, and that's all crap. I would argue and can argue that oftentimes the kids inside that bubble have more issues with drugs and alcohol and acting out than poor kids do. Or at the same level. We can't just say, oh, we're rich and in a bubble, we're cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely issues. I'm sure there are different issues. I mean, we're grateful we don't have to deal with poverty. And we do, at least in our house, have a lot of support. But there are kids in Mount Lebanon and otherwise.
Hey, man, a kid on our street overdosed on heroin and died, okay?
Yeah.
And his sister was laying face down on the street in front of our house crying about her brother.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely problems with drugs and alcohol like there are in, most communities.
Live with Christine and Marty. Hey, what do you find most stressful? And then we got calls. Most stressful and difficult about raising kids? You personally, honey. Yeah, about raising our kids.
Oh, the most difficult thing? I mean, social media and technology.
I can't stand TikTok. I think it sucks.
What I don't like about it is it's very individual. They're doing it on their own. It's very hard to see what's going on.
Well,
Snapchat
then listen to
disappears.
Us. Try to tell Chloe to do something when she's on TikTok.
Oh, she freely admits, if I'm looking at my phone, I can't hear you, even though she doesn't have headphones in.
And Sophia clutches her phone like it's the world's largest diamond, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's so annoying.
I know.
I hate it. I've thought about just shutting it down, but I don't think that would be fair.
It's not really possible. They really rely on their phones for a lot of things, including communication.
Not that TikTok crap, those stupid dances.
But that's the thing. You can't completely take it away. It is, like, integral to just getting around.
Not TikTok, honey.
No.
TikTok sucks.
But it's all in one. That's the problem.
My greatest fear is what I know about what I've seen. And I think that probably haunts a lot of parents, but on a different level myself, I have been in homes where kids are dead from fentanyl or heroin. Wealthy kids, white kids.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in a home where wonderful straight A, man, I used to do these seminars all the time in big church groups, and a woman would come up and grab me and say, hey, we had six kids. They all went to Harvard, and one of them overdosed on heroin. I have been in a home where a kid, wonderful kid, in the middle of the night hung himself. My greatest fear is what I don't know about our kids.
Yeah, yeah. And some teenagers talk a lot. Some teenagers don't talk a lot. It's hard to know, really. Even if they do talk, it's sometimes hard to know. But yeah, all you can do is try and talk to them and watch their behavior and try and notice any warning signs.
Hey, I'm not overly paranoid, and I certainly don't hover over them, but I worry internally about what I've seen and what I know and what I've watched in my life at a different level than most people could ever imagine, because I'm on the streets all the time and I've been in these homes, and it scares the crap out of me, quite frankly.
Well, and like you said, we know people. I mean, my sister had two friends who overdosed as, you know, young adults. It happens. It's really, really sad.
We're sitting on our couch on a Sunday morning. There's a girl out in the street screaming and crying face down, won't give you any details, but her brother, who lived on the street, had just overdosed on heroin. This is real. It's real. It's palpable and it's legit. Man. Hey, Mike, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, how do you guys, you joke all the time, Marty, about having money and being wealthy, but a lot of people with money then have to divide up their responsibilities of the household, and so usually people each take their own responsibilities. How do you guys hold each other accountable, and what's something that each of you have dropped the ball on and the other one got mad about, you know, because someone wasn't taking care of their responsibilities, since money's not the issue? And before you answer real quick, you can learn a lot on TikTok. There's a lot of interesting stuff on there that you can people are teaching people on there, and you can learn a lot. So don't completely dismiss it. Go ahead about the responsibility.
Go ahead, honey. Go.
Do you mean by like chores that kids do, or are you talking about responsibilities?
Parental.
Marty and me.
For the adults. Yeah, either for the adults or, you know, around the house or just in general. You know, for example, you know, managing the money. Who is one responsible for that over the other?
Marty does all the short-term bills. I do all the long-term planning, with a financial planner.
What? You go to the meetings, I don't go. So what? What, you don't plan anything financial. Mike, she's full of it, man. My man, if we have three fights a year, and that would be a fair assessment.
Yeah, I would agree.
They're always about her spending, because she grew up rich and I didn't, and I get irritated as hell. And that's just the truth. Is that not accurate, honey?
It's close enough.
Yeah. And as a result, Mike, I've made it my mission in life to make sure we have money saved and that the bills are paid. And my wife, who's perfect, thanks. It's a great question.
Yeah. No, I would say, you say I spend too much. I would say we disagree on how we're going to spend the money. But that's a challenge a lot of couples face is, you know, how are you going to spend your money? What are the priorities? And how much do you save? How much do you spend now? So, yeah, and it's hard with the kids doing more and more activities. I mean, they're so expensive. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people can't afford it, and we're lucky to be able to for them to do a lot.
Her father, I love him to death. Gary is unbelievably successful And he looked over at me last time he was here. He said, I'm blown away by how well you've done saving. Because I'm obsessed with it. Because I want everything to be okay. And I don't want to be in a situation where I'm wigged out and stressed out about money. I just have no interest in that.
Yeah, we've been disciplined about that.
Thanks to me.
Well, definitely thanks to you, yes. Definitely thanks to you.
There's one for Big Dad. Gotta go. It's Marty Griffin. I'm sorry. It's Christine and Marty live. Hey, the Lego thing really irritates me. Come on, honey. We've been around Legos. We have three kids. I was around Legos as a kid. The only thing that ever irritated me about Legos before this is when you step on one in your bare feet.
That does hurt.
Now this company, in this woke world we live in, decides that it's going to correct the gender bias in Lego. Honestly, before you get all high and mighty on me about this, you never thought about a bias in Lego.
Not in Lego specifically, but I will say that, like, before having kids, I did think about how a lot of toys and, you know, play activities are geared toward girls or boys.
Okay. So?
And as a parent, like, I was always interested, is this nature or is it nurture? Is it that we're guiding our kids to play princesses and dollhouses, or is it that we are, you know, or is it that that's the way they're born and they're more interested in that? And I, to be honest, I don't really know the answer.
Oh, I do. We watched it, man. We never tell Vince what to do. He wants to do guy stuff. We've never told the girls what to do. They do girl stuff.
Right, but I will say the toys in general are geared one way or the other. However,
no kidding. They're toys for boys and girls.
But at the same time, we did present our kids with all toys. Like, I think of Sophia, she played with trains a lot when she was little. Well, typically, those might be considered a boy.
Yeah, but she's obsessed on those dolls. What were those stupid dolls?
American Girl dolls. She actually didn't really like those until a friend.
She obsessed on them.
Well, then she got into it later.
They're so expensive, and they're a big waste of money, and they're worthless. See how I think? Where are they now, honey? Collecting dust somewhere.
Right. She said someday we'll make money on them.
But we did not force her to do that. She just loved it. And you said something that's very important. And I've said this all along. And this is why watching their friends is almost as important as watching them. Because our kids and your kids out there listening will be influenced to do things they won't do now. Something as simple as riding a roller coaster.
Right.
Or going into a haunted house based on peers. Or boyfriends or girlfriends, right?
Yeah. No, they're very influenced on their friends. And I think more so, of course, as teenagers. I mean, when they were little, it's more what a parent presents to them and gives them these choices of toys. I think what is interesting to me about the Lego issue is the whole challenge of girls not being interested in STEM and STEAM starting at about middle school.
True.
And so I do think it's worth, you know, putting an emphasis on that when they're younger.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the Legos come in. Because when I looked up, like, Legos for girls, you see dollhouses, you see hair salons. When I look up Lego for boys, you see space shuttle, you see building
cars. Okay, maybe so,
cars.
But we took them into, I took them, myself, into, like, the Lego Kingdom world. Remember that in Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
I said, get what you want. I never said, come over here to the dollhouse.
Right. But girls are going to gravitate toward the pink and purple
things. Because I pushed them there. I never told Sophia to go. Ever.
I do think they're conditioned from being very young.
Or you're overthinking it. Or you're overthinking it because you read too many of these damn books. You read too many of these books, man.
I think it's a good idea. I'm not saying they didn't maybe make a bigger deal out of it than it had to be. But I think it's a good idea to present all of these STEM career and STEM ideas and concepts to both sexes.
Different discussion, of course.
But in Legos. That's what I'm saying, though, even in Legos.
Hold on. Dave's got a point. Dave, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good, man.
Good.
I want to say it was great meeting you at the Rosen and Perry event.
Yeah.
I told Marty, Christine, you're a ray of sunshine, and you can't fake that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very genuine, and Marty needs to work on his dance moves.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just happy he danced.
I give
him credit for doing it. Anyway, you know, growing up with Legos, I had a lot of them. Honestly, I never really noticed. And the characters that they have nowadays look to me like what used to be called Playmobil. You guys remember those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, like I said, I never noticed it. I think it's being overdone.
I do too.
You know, over dramatized. But a funny story, guys. Growing up, my mother always bought the best gifts, except one time. She bought me a Donny Osmond doll.
Oh, my.
And she didn't know that it wasn't for boys. You know what I mean? Oh. I hid in the basement until she took it away. So I thought you guys would enjoy that. But, yeah, it's definitely being overdone.
Well, I love, you know, Donny and Marie Osmond.
Oh, they were great, but it just wasn't. It was for a girl. It wasn't for a boy, I thought. You know,
yeah,
what I mean? So,
my sisters loved him. Look, here's my deal about him. And I think we're taking kids and we're putting them all in a class now, when the whole point of the woke culture is to make everybody the same. Well, you can't make everybody the same if you have gender-neutral toy sections. You can't make everybody the same if you make a big deal out of Superman is now bisexual. I think it's overkill. I think we're shoving it in kids' faces now. I just do. And you also see the same thing, don't you, dear?
Well, yeah, I think sometimes it's over the top, but I also think it's very good that it doesn't have to be toys that are geared toward girls or toys
that
are geared toward boys.
Right on.
I mean, I think a girl shouldn't feel uncomfortable going in what might be considered the boy section of toys. I mean, they might like that even more,
but
maybe they felt uncomfortable because they thought it was for boys.
That's not
vice versa.
In our house. I mean, I never told them where to go, man.
I'm not saying our house, but even our last caller, I mean, he was saying he felt uncomfortable with that toy because he thought it was for girls.
Yeah, I never thought about it. I think we overthink this stuff, man. I do. I think, you know, good kids are good kids. I want them, what do I say to them all the time? I want you to be happy.
I think these things gradually change over time. And when you see a big, you know, statement saying we're going to make this wholesale change, I think that seems like, whoa, okay, that's too much. But I bet you in 20 years, toys are going to look a lot different. They're not going to be necessarily as many, you know, pink and purple toys that we think are just for girls. They're going to be rethinking, okay, how do we make these so that everybody feels like they're for boys or girls?
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be a rainbow.
Uh-huh. All right, right back. Hey, what did you think? What have you thought overall about living through COVID? Has it been really, really hard? Because I'm not trying to be a jerk or a hater, because there's a lot of stuff out here that's been hell for people. For me, it's been a blessing. I'm just on a personal level,
right,
in our house.
Right. I mean, I don't really share that very often with a lot of people because I know so many people have struggled. People have lost family members. We've been to funerals for people who've passed, but on an individual level, it's actually had a lot of benefits. I mean, having teenagers, they want to be with their friends, as we were talking about.
Yep.
I mean, that's normal. That's what teenagers do. That's the natural evolution of them becoming independent. But you know, in the middle of them being teenagers, we had this year where they had to be with us only. And it wasn't like, I mean, you know, they couldn't even ask to go out. Like, they knew their friends weren't allowed to do anything. They were stuck with us. And it was actually a really wonderful time to be able to, you know, to be with them.
This is something that I told you the other night. And look, I'm being selfish and self-centered, and so what? I'm just telling you the truth. I liked it when they really needed us. And I sound like a jerk saying this. But when Daddy and Mommy were the center of attention and all they wanted was chocolate milk and a chocolate chip cookie. You know where I'm coming from?
Yeah, yeah.
And look, I covet them. I do. And so I don't like, and look, man, I'm just being honest. The evolution of this thing, as I tell you, it's God's way of preparing them for the real world. They don't need us as much, other than to buy them tennis shoes and drive them around. And even not that as much.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I mean, Sophia's driving herself now. It's so weird. She's so independent and
has her own job.
Yeah. I mean, it is hard as a parent because they're completely 100% dependent on you when they're born. And then, you know, I don't know. I was kind of glad when they turned about four and they could, you know, put their own shoes on and get dressed and like, oh, okay, I can finally breathe. Like, I don't have to watch them every single second. And then all of a sudden, they go from 4 to 14. It's like, now they're gone almost. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they push back.
Right.
And I get annoyed.
It's hard in a different way. I know, you know, parents have always told us this. Oh, just wait till they're teenagers. But yeah, I mean, now I kind of do appreciate those younger years more, even though sometimes it's difficult, especially when they're really little. But yeah, it's hard. And I know, I mean, during the pandemic, not everybody had the kind of support we have. And our kids were, I think, thankfully, a good age to have to have gone through a pandemic at the ages they were. A lot of people, unfortunately, and people, some of their friends suffered depression. I mean, a lot of people had
anxiety, depression, isolation.
Oh, yeah. Right. And, you know, they were lucky they had each other. They had siblings. They had us. You know, a lot of kids were alone in their house without siblings. And it was very hard.
So my boy, John, who runs the greatest hotel on earth, the William Penn, heads up on challenges raising kids, not to scare you, but to prepare them. Whole new set of issues as they go off to college. It's why they're going to CCAC and they're staying in my damn basement, John. Simple enough. No, it is scary.
It is. It really is. And I mean, I guess we just have to do the best we can in terms of trying to prepare them so that when they are completely on their own or almost on their own in college, that they're making good choices. But it's scary to think about.
And here's what Daddy says, and I'm blunt about this. If you want to drink, I'll send you to bartender school. It's $400. If you go to college to drink, Daddy's not paying, right?
Oh, you said that to them.
And what did the financial folks tell us?
This is
going to cost for three of them to go to private schools.
Oh, I don't remember.
Sure. I thought you ran the money.
They said it's the...
$1.3 million.
Well, they said it's the biggest financial decision you'll make of your entire life. Much bigger than a house. Because a house, I mean, you can sell and get your money back generally. But, I mean, a college degree, you're going to spend as much or more on that than you would on a house.
True, honey. And you know why I had kids so late in life? So that I remember everything they did now. And by the time they move away, I'll be out of it so much. I'll be 90 years old. I'll have complete, total memory loss. And I'll have no idea where the kids were or if I even had kids. I'm hooking myself up.
Thanks. So you're leaving it, dumping it on me.
It'll just be you changing the battery on my electric wheelchair. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.